All right, so we've been talking about transformation. So transformation, be transformed. And we looked at the book of Romans chapter 12, and we looked at verse 1 and 2. And those verses talk about the fact that we should not be conformed to this world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. Okay? So first of all, in that passage we initially looked at, one of the key scriptures, everybody knows about being renewed, have your mind renewed. But what sometimes people miss is the verse before it, verse 1, that says that you have to present your body. You have to present yourself to God in order to be changed. And so a lot of times we want change to happen without presenting ourselves. You know, we don't want to present ourselves, because when you present yourself to God, then what happens is you lose control. And we are trained from the time we're children to learn how to control ourselves. Okay, so when you're a little kid and you go to school and you got energy and you just run free, what do? They tell you, sit down, boy. Do this. Control yourself. Amen. We're trained to control ourselves. But then God says, you got to present your body and let me take control. And we say, I'll give you this much. I'll accept salvation, but I'll give you this here. And maybe tomorrow I'll hand you that. God's saying, nope, I want you to present your whole body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Amen. So once we present our body, when we present ourselves to God, holiness is a byproduct. Some people are trying to become holy without presenting themselves to God. And what happens is we start wearing long dresses to the floor, and we will cut our mustaches and facial hair off, and we will do holy in our control. When God doesn't care about your dress or your mustache, what God cares about is your heart. Has your heart been submitted to God? Has your heart been given to God? And we can't, that's why, you know, we're told that when God wanted to anoint a king over Israel, and he came to the man Jesse's house, Jesse had seven sons. And when the prophet came in, and he told, the prophet tells Jesse, God has chosen a king from your household. One of your sons has been called to be king. And so Jesse immediately looks at his sons and said, here's the tall one. Here's the warrior. Here's this one. Here's that one. And he rolled six of them out. And God says, nope, none of them. Because I don't like their hearts. There is one whose heart I like. Where's he? Well, he's out doing something else. Well, go bring him in. And sure enough, the one with the heart for God is the one God chooses. So when we think about transformation, transformation has more to do with the condition of our hearts than it does with the exterior. And when we understand that, then what starts to happen is we can then start releasing the heart to God, and God can begin making change. Now, what happens to a lot of, again, once again, when we look at, we want to look at this from the eyes of the world, because we're called to reach the world. So we have to understand how the world thinks. So when you say be transformed, what a successful person in the world says is, I have no need to be changed. Everything's working for me. If other people around me get their act together, then I will be fine. That's how we think. That's how we think. If everybody else can just get with my program, then the world will be a better place. Okay? But that's, again, it's missing the point. And the reason that we miss the point is because we don't really understand what real life is. Amen? Real life. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Let's take a look at that. And we will kind of get a handle on what God is ministering to us today. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18. If you're using your Logos Bible, again, you can kind of jump in and get right to those scriptures as we have them. When you get there, say amen. Amen. All right, praise God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So really critical here, the very first thing, when we started presenting ourselves to God, once you presented yourself to God, when you said yes to God, immediately you became a new creation. Whether you look like it or not, change outside doesn't matter, because why? God's concerned with the heart. So the heart that said yes to God, God immediately says, you're a new creation. Now, everybody else looks at you and says, you're the same dirty dog I knew 2 weeks ago. You still look like the same one. You look like the one that did this or did that or said this to me or stepped on my toe or stole my shoes. Or when, remember we was in college and you did all that's memory, but that's not me. Because that's not me. That was him, but that's not me. So today we're going to talk about being a new creation. What does it mean to be a new creation? And not only what does it mean, but once you understand what it means, how does it work? How does the new creation work? What starts happening when you become a new creation? What starts happening? Now, when you take a seed, when I was a child, we had in the backyard, my grandparents would take us out and they say, little man, this is what we're going to do. You got to dig a hole here. And they would have a little one of those little envelopes with the seeds in them. Yeah. And so they'd have the little envelope and they say, okay, sprinkle a few of those in there. Sprinkle that down and you put the dirt over the top of it and you can put some water on top of it. And little kid, you're standing there waiting for something to happen, right? They said, no, little man, come on in the house. Come on. Come on. And you forget about it. And you run in the backyard, running past that area all the time. And then one day you run past there and it's a little, y'all know the little sprout comes out. It's just like that. And you go, oh, you keep on playing. You don't worry about it. You come back again. It's like this. Come back after a while, and they send you out there to pick those greens because we're going to eat them. Because eventually it becomes edible. The fruit becomes edible, but there's a process to go from seed to go to fruit. And so the new creation starts as a seed that goes in the spirit, inside the heart. It's buried below your flesh man. And so nobody sees it but the one that planted it. Nobody can see it except the one who planted it. And the one who planted it is telling everybody else, don't worry about it. Something down there. Everybody else is running by. I don't see nothing. I don't know. The seed's been planted, and the one who planted it knows it's there. And as long as he knows it's there, he's going to continue to water it. He's going to continue to fertilize it. He's going to tend to put things on top of it. Everybody else is running past and not paying attention to what's going on. But the one who planted it, he knows, and he's confident that what's been planted is going to come to full harvest. So when we understand the new creation, that's what it is. The new creation is the seed of the word of God that's been planted in our hearts, and eventually that seed is going to come to full fruition. But if you let people judge you and you're impacted by that, eventually you will dig down to see if the seed is there, and you will ruin the growth of the seed. What's been planted has to be trusted. So when it's been planted, we have to no longer be moved by external things, but the confidence and faith that what has been planted will eventually come to pass. Amen? Amen. So I want to lay some foundation here so we understand what we're talking about. The first layer of foundation is we have to understand is, number one, that man was created in the image of God. Okay? Here we go, right here. He's created in the image of God, which means three things. Number one, that God is a spirit. So the real man, the image, is spirit. So the Bible says in the book of Genesis, it said that God created man from the dust of the ground. And really interesting to understand is that when God created everything, every single thing God created, he made from invisible substances. So when he said, let there be light, there was nothing there. He created it. He said, now let this happen, let that happen. That God created until the sixth day was all created from God speaking or God doing something like that. But on the sixth day, when God created man, God reached into the dirt and formed something. He formed a physical body from the dirt. And then what God did is that thing was not alive until it says that, and he breathed the breath of life into man, and man became a living soul. So what became a living soul wasn't the dirt. Because see, when you take my skin and you take some skin and put it under a microscope, you're going to find magnesium, calcium. You're going to find everything that's in the dirt. That's what you're going to find, because that's where this was shaped from. That's what it was formed from. So when you put it under a microscope, that's what you're going to find. What you won't find in the microscope is the thing that makes me alive, which is my spirit, which is the breath of life that was breathed into Adam. It's been passed on from man to man to man to man to woman to woman to woman to woman. It's been passed on because the real me is not the flesh me. The real me is the spirit. The spirit is the real me, the inner man. That is the real me. The flesh is only what I live in. Okay? So very first thing, you can give John chapter 4. God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth, not just the fleshly trappings of worship. So yes, when we worship, we can all lift our hands, but if our heart, our spirit man isn't lifted up, then you can raise your hands. You might as well be in a bank getting robbed. Because they raise their hands too, right? That's not, no work there. Unless somebody's calling on the name of the Lord to help us help them, right? So the this is not worship. Amen. It's something that we do to express worship. Amen. But the real position of worship is what happens in my heart. Is my heart up? God is seeing those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay. Number two here is God is triune. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's who God is. God has made us same way. We are spirit, soul, and body. And so there's a distinction between a spirit and a soul. And we'll talk about that real briefly today, but we want to understand this because to understand this helps you recognize that you being holy in the spirit is not reflected by your thoughts. Because sometimes we get bombarded with thoughts that are unholy thoughts and we say, oh, I'm not saved. Or maybe I'm missing something. No. Your spirit is saved. But your mind got to get renewed. And see, the mind being renewed is really critical. When we talk about being transformed, it starts with that expression first that God has saved me, but now I got to get my mind renewed. Because my mind is still fighting with God. My mind is still saying, God said, walk in love to this person. My mind says, you don't know what they did to me. Your mind says, give and it's going to be given to you. I'm holding and I'm going to have it. Okay? So you got to understand your mind will war against what your spirit wants to do because your spirit hears the word and agrees with it. So that's why that there's a resistance. Because prior to getting saved, when you thought that thought, it was no argument. They said, give. You said, no. And you walked away. You didn't think twice about it, right? Then you get saved, and they say, give, and you say, it's something, man, I kind of want it. So now a war starts. Why? Because your spirit is now alive. Your spirit said, yes, give. You're a giver. But your body's saying, and your mind is saying, I got something to do this afternoon. I may not be able to let this one go. So again, understand you're triune, Father, you are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from God. We are spirit, soul, and body in man. And when you understand that those are the layers inside you, then you start understanding where the authority is going to lie. Amen. Yeah. Third thing, God was creative. God was able to create all things. He was able to speak words of life, create the world, and then form what he wanted to form. God gave us the same power because we're in his image. But the way that power works in us is still, again, it's limited because our flesh has limitations. So what God gave us the ability to do, and this is evidence from Genesis chapter 1. After God created everything, God created the man, and then he brought all the animals to man and said, now you name them. You got the creativity. You got power. I made them. You name them. Okay? So he gave him that ability to do something. He involved man in the process. We still have that same power, but sometimes that gets clouded because of our fleshly limitations. Amen? All right. Now, next thing. Each part of man has a distinct function. Spirit, soul, and body, right? Now, the spirit is what contacts or knows God. You can't know God with your mind, and you can't know God with your flesh. You can only know God by the Spirit because God is a Spirit. Amen. So the spirit of you is what touches God, what knows God. So when we're in worship or when we're in prayer, we have to get prayer from the physical into the spiritual so that we can touch God. Amen. So that's our goal. We're going to continue to do that. The soul contacts the intellectual or the sense realm, your minds, your emotions and your imagination. Real important about your imagination. Your imagination was given to you to be creative in the creation process. But what happens to most of us our imagination doesn't get renewed and it starts to go the wrong direction. Amen. So your imagination will start painting pictures because that's what it's designed to do. It's designed to create. And so you get a piece of information over here, another piece of information over here. And if you start thinking, your imagination will draw the portrait in between and make connections that probably don't even aren't real. So when I was a child, my father called me once. My father lived in Los Angeles. I lived in Oakland. My father called me once and he told me something I didn't want to hear. And so what I did was I didn't have all the information. So I had what I thought and I had what I heard him say. And I painted the picture in between and made my conclusion. And that's what I started telling everybody. I told everybody the story that I made my conclusion from what he said. Now, reality was not that. Reality was something totally different. But my imagination closed the gap. Because I had an unrenewed mind. So it just made it convenient to tell me what I wanted to hear. Amen. So if we don't renew our mind, our imagination will write stories. It will write great ones that sound really good, that sound perfect. Okay. I heard somebody tell a story about me one time. I was like, man, I didn't know that. Man, that's a good one. I never heard that one before. Because somebody got a piece of information here and a piece of information there, and they closed the gap. All right? Not true at all, but it sounded good. I was like, man, I might make a movie about that one. That sounds good. The body contacts the physical material world with the input of the five senses. So what I taste, touch, hear, smell, my body takes that, and that's how I experience the physical world. It then takes that. When it takes that and puts it to my soul, then it becomes emotion-based. So I take the senses, and now I have an emotional response. Okay? So these are the kind of parts of the human being. So let's go to the next thing here. Now we're kind of get into what we're talking about. So when we start talking about, one more, if we talk about kind of the general things, being transformed has 4 points, and this is what we're going to get to today. I may not get through all of it, but we'll get through as much as we can. Number one, you need to know that you are a new creation. You need to know and understand and be confident in the fact that you are a new creation. And you have to know that. That has to be revelation knowledge to you, that you are a new creature in Christ. Okay? The second thing is you have to know that because you're a new creature and you are a spirit being, and that spirit is connected to God, that newness gives you the power to do all things. That we really can do all things. The limitation is what our mind is ready for. The limitation is what my mind can actually process. What can I actually move into with my mind? Your physical body will go along with the party. Whatever your mind comes up with, your body will just get along with whatever's going. Okay? Because remember, it's just the container. It's just the house. It's just what you experience life from. So we have to understand that all things are possible for new creation people. So when you are new creation in Christ, the limitation is only what your mind has been renewed enough to accept. Amen? All right, number three, we must become more conscious of God's spirit on the inside of us. The more conscious I am of God's spirit, the more my mind has to start getting in line. Amen? So this morning, as we're worshiping, the presence of God is already here. It's already here. Why? Because he's inside of us. So where we go, he is. So all of a sudden, what starts to happen is when we all as a corporate body start to join in, and that understanding of the presence of God is there, all of a sudden we have a external experience. Because corporate worship starts to happen. Because all of a sudden, we all understand that God's presence is here. It was already here. But we all understand it's here. So what starts to happen is it just elevates everybody's worship. So we're able to move into a new place because we have a different conscious level of God's presence. Amen? So we have to become conscious of God's spirit in us more than the world system outside of us. In other words, because my eyes see the world system, I'm really conscious of the world system. My senses see that. I watch the news, I hear bad news. Okay? I'm conscious of the bad news. But that all that information coming into my soul will start to make me less conscious of God's presence, even though God's presence is here. which gets back to number two, all things are possible. But if my limitation becomes that all the stuff that's going in me is clouding that, clouding my mind from that reality, I start to suppress God's ability in me. Okay? So number four, the Word of God is your spiritual food. The Word is your spiritual food that when you start to feed on the Word, it starts to push back. It starts to occupy your consciousness and starts to put back the things that the enemy's put in you. Amen? All right, so now let's get into it. So I told you where we're going. Now let's go where we're going. All right. So we're going to read a couple of passages real quick. And Ephesians, this is a long passage, but I want you to listen close. We're going to read two long passages and get into this. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 15 through 23. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. All right, that's a long passage, but boy, oh boy, that's filled with a whole lot of information. The most critical thing you can pull from this is to understand that God has made an investment in you. God has made an investment in you. It says that he's got this inheritance that he's put in you. And that he's got all things by the work of his power. And all these things he's put into, which he's all packed into Christ, and then made you Christ's body. So we've been made to be the body of Christ. And so while we look at Jesus, we say, wow, I'm appreciative of the salvation that I have in Christ. He says, now I want you to understand and appreciate that salvation and recognize not only is it out there, but I put it right here. That I've taken that power of God, I've taken that truth of the gospel, I've put it in your spirit, that it's down on the inside of you, and that you are now his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So when we talk about things being possible or impossible, again, that limitation of what is possible is all between our ears. That is where the limitation of what is possible and not possible. Because if indeed this word is true, which I do believe, then what God is saying that I have deposited tremendous power in you. I've deposited great things in you. And the limitation will only be how much you get your mind renewed. How much do you accept the truth? How much can you accept this gospel that I've given you? This good news, how much can you accept it? Now the world system has made it its goal to strip you of your ability to believe this. Amen. Because it bombards you and occupies your mind with everything else but this truth. Because you know what, even if you have the truth in your possession, if everything covers it, it will look like whatever it's covered with. And it's the whole issue of the seed. This truth is deposited in your spirit. It is in you. And because it's in you, it will grow to its full fruition as long as we protect the ground that the seed is on. If we protect the ground and we care for the ground, then what will happen is it will come forth and it will bring forth what God has called for it to do. But when there's confusion or when there's other things being planted or things being brought to you, what will happen is you will be in a position where you want to dig it up and see if it's really true. Yes. 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 See, the flesh and blood is not the issue. Flesh and blood is not at all what the issue is. The issue is what God put in our spirits, that which is part of his body, what is planted in our hearts, that power that God has put in us, that is the reality of what God wants to bring forth in you. And when it comes to pass, everybody will know what it is. But while it's underground, nobody knows except the planter. And so sometimes we're trying to figure out who we are or figure out where we're going. Just trust the process. Trust the process. When you bloom, everybody will know what you are. Everybody will know what you are. You don't have to figure it out. All you have to do is just do the things that are in front of you. Keep doing the things that are in front of you. Keep being a good farmer. And one day what you are will be revealed. But sometimes we're trying to figure out what we are. And God said, you don't have to worry about what you are. You just do what I'm saying. That's why you make the word your guide. Let the word guide you, and you operate your behavior according to the word. And when season comes, everybody will know. See, when Jesus was a seed, nobody knew what he was. When he was a seed, his mother was being condemned for being a woman who is pregnant without a husband. But there's a seed in there. When Jesus was a child and they took him to the temple and he's standing there talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and he's reasoning, the 12-year-old Jesus is reasoning with the grown men, educated priests. And they have to ask, who is this kid? Why? Because it's still a seed. You don't know who he is. You're having an encounter with him and you're kind of wondering what's up with him, but you don't know what he really is. Because it's not the time to know. The seed is not full. It's not where it's going to become. Even his disciples come with him, they still don't understand because the seed, the purpose really hasn't fully been revealed. And so while all this fullness is in him, all this power is in him, all this capacity is in Jesus, they're sitting right next to him and don't know who he is. Because it wasn't the season to know. Praise God. Let's go to the next verse. Let's go to the next one. Even now we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Okay. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as others. I'm going to stop right there. So first of all, to understand, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you look like. The fact of the matter is that all of us once were. Amen. All of us once were. Now, what you were, I don't care, but all of us once were something. Amen. And so what you were doesn't make a difference because we're all had to be redeemed. So the worst were and the one that thinks they the best were still had to get redeemed. It don't make any difference. Okay. What you were is what you were. Amen. But what we are is redeemed. Amen. Woo. By nature, we were the children of wrath, just as the others. In other words, don't give yourself a free pass. You just like all the others. Amen. You're special to God, but you just like all the others. Amen. Next one. Praise God. But God, praise the Lord, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages, again, not just sit by yourself, sit together. Sit together in heavenly places. Amen? Woo, man. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. You can't brag about your works and think that's going to get you into heaven. Okay? I was from a background where a lot of people were doing very good works and they were very impressed with their good works, but they were not giving themselves to God. And they did a lot of good works. They did some great things. There's some, matter of fact, some of those people, there's name, their buildings with their names on them now for the good works that they did. But good works do not save you. Good works are a reflection of your heart. And you can do earthly good works. We talked about love a couple of weeks ago. We talked about those different layers of love and that there's a layer of love that you love people who love you back. You can love people in your family. We can love y'all. Oh, I love you. Matter of fact, we can fight and we're going to come back and we're going to love each other anyway. Why? Because we're family and we just love each other, right? And then you got your friends that you love. And your friends, you don't get, they don't get as long of a cord. If we fight as friends, we might talk, we might not. Okay? Because I'm going to love you as much as you love me back. When I know you don't love me, choop, cutting the cord. All right? Deuces, like you said, that's it. You got that compassionate love. Where I love because I feel somebody else's pain. Okay? I feel your pain, so I love you. I'm going to do something for you. But if I love, I feel your pain, I love you, and I find out you was playing me, I cut you off too. Because I no longer feel good about it. So it's love based on a good feeling. Amen? And then we have God's unconditional love. That even when we were yet sinners, he died us enough to make the ultimate sacrifice. A whole nother kind of love. And so because of that love, we are all grafted in. And it's not because we've done good works, because that would be to discount how much God loves us. God's love is unconditional. You didn't have to earn it. You don't even have to deserve it. God gives it to you because he so loves the world that he gave. And whoever will accept his love back gets the benefit of his love. Guess what? God loves the unbeliever, but the unbeliever is not reciprocating, so they don't get the benefit of the love. It's not because God's mad and God don't want to have nothing to do with them. God's love is out there for everybody. But if you don't accept the love and receive it, then you don't get the benefit of it. I love my kids, but if my kids said, I'm out of here, I'm going to still love you. But when your mom makes this, I'm going to be here eating it. You can't eat it from a distance. If you're here, you partake. It's everything's yours in the house. But if you're out the house, you can't get it because you're not in the house. Not because I don't love you. It's because you ain't in the house. And that's how salvation is. Salvation is available. Makes all these great things available to whoever so will believe. But if you won't come in the house, you can't get it because it's not out the house. It's in the house. So by grace, you've been saved. It's a gift of God, not of works such anybody should boast. You can't do something outside the house, no matter how great it is, and be in the house. And that's the understanding that we're trying to invite people into the house. The invitation is there, but do you want to come into the house? God has great things, has awesome things for you. He's got great things available to you. He wants to do this and wants to do that, but will you come into the house? The invitation is open. The door is wide open. You can come whenever you want. Matter of fact, here's a key. I'm giving you a key to the house. Come in whenever you want. But if they don't reciprocate, they don't come into the house, man, they just don't get the benefit. So we got to love enough people enough to go get them and bring them to the house. Let them know you can't earn this. You can't deserve it. It ain't no big deal. Man, but you don't know how raggedy I am. It's okay. It's raggedy folks inside the house. Just come on in the house. No problem. But they're going to judge me. Don't worry, we got robes for you in the house. We got love that will cover a multitude of faults. And we'll cover you. We'll cover your faults. We'll cover your flaws. And you can come in the house and you don't have to worry about it. But we don't know about this. We got shoes. We got slippers for you. Don't worry about what your feet look like. We got something to put on there. We can cover whatever because the blood of Jesus is shed to cover. And so understanding that, the new creation starts to cover because we know when we look at people that God's got a seed inside of them. And so while they look raggedy now, even when they come into the house of the Lord, while they look like they're undone, while they look like they're not getting it or unprepared, there's a seed of God on the inside that in due time is going to come forth. In due time, that seed is going to come forth, but it has to be put in ground where it can grow. That's why it's critical. Jesus said, that's how men are going to know you, because you have love one for another. You're going to know that everybody's not perfect. You'll know everybody's not all the ready. Everybody's not in full bloom yet. You're going to know that about each other, and you're going to love each other in spite of that. You're going to continue to love each other. You're going to continue to cover each other. You're going to continue to build each other. You're going to give people the freedom to do what they got to do, and you're also going to give them the accountability to help them when they're off track. Because you love them enough to do that. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the next thing here. I'm not going to get close to getting done with this. We'll surely be getting back to this next week. So that first is understanding new creation. So new creation gets down to this, that investment God has made in us is the new birth. Is that in Christ, that new creation, you don't have to pay. Jesus has already paid the cost. The investment has been that the blood of Jesus was shed for all of us. And because he shed that blood for us and put the seed of righteousness in us, that seed of righteousness is going to come forth. And when it comes forth, God's going to get the glory out of it. God's going to get the glory out of the seed, the righteousness planted in me. And so when I gave my life to the Lord for the first time, I looked the same. And my friend said, you look the same to me. I said, no, I'm saved. I'm sanctified. Everybody's getting saved. And I started telling them, I started preaching fire and brimstone. Everybody around here getting saved. Come on, get on your knees. We all going to pray the sinner's prayer. I got everybody on the floor. We praying in a circle. And they said, this boy, you talking crazy, but you still look the same. We'll see. So they had to step back and wait and see. They had to wait and watch. They had to watch and see. And then after something started springing up through the ground, they said, well, that's probably a weed. That's probably not real. So they had to watch. They had to watch. They had to watch. And one of my friends, my good friends, after 25 years, he said, man, he said, I'm sitting in his office one day. He's my accountant now. I just put it on. He said, man, he said, when you got saved, when I heard that, he said, I sure said, this has got to be a scam. This has got to be a scam. He's got something going. What is he doing? I know he got something behind this. I know it. He said, I waited and I waited and I waited. He said, man, it was real all this time. I said, yeah, it was real. It was real. But you had to wait and see the fruit. You got to wait and see the fruit. You got to wait and see. And so sometimes, well, again, we make judgment on people. We got to understand. Don't judge. Just tell the truth in love. Continue to support, continue to feed yourself with the word, continue to do things, and watch God's workmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're going to start walking in good works, but it won't because we're trying to do good works in order to be seen by God. It's because God has put the love in us, and now it's just the byproduct. The byproduct, the good works are coming out of me because God has done something in my heart. And so again, people want to say everything. People want to do anything. But you got to understand, man, God has recreated me. God has made me a new creation. And nobody else can give me what God has given me. Nobody else can fulfill what God is fulfilling in my spirit. And when I don't feel fulfilled, it's because I got to get back and feed on the word. I got to get back and get back into the word. I got to continue to soak myself in the word. Let my spirit man get strong, because then my spirit man will start pushing off the emotions that are trying to drive me. Okay? Your emotions will try to drive you into places to get you to do things that the God who we serve has already set us free from. So when I got a certain point in life, I had a challenge financially. And so when I got into it, my mind started trying to author how to get out of my financial hole, because I never had a problem with finances before I gave my life to the Lord, because I knew how to get money. So I didn't have a problem with money. But when I got saved and I can't get money the way I used to get money, now I have to allow my mind to get renewed, because now that I don't have money, my mind says, you know how to go get money, so go get the money. So, but I'm saying, but I'm saved. I can't go get that money. So, and the war starts. The battle starts, because what is comfortable for you that you know God has not ordained, you know, still know what to do, but you can't go back and do it. And so then all of a sudden, if you don't get your mind renewed, what will happen is you will begin having that argument with yourself. And eventually, instead of prospering in the thing God calls you to do, you will get paralyzed. And so a lot of Christians are trying to be holy in a paralyzed state. They know what to do wrong, but I don't quite know what to do right now. So I'm just going to sit right here right now because I don't want to go do wrong, but I don't know what to do. So I'm going to sit right here. And so I'm stuck right here and I'm stuck. But the new creation man has been given creativity. He's been given a new creative spirit. And so now you got to say, oh, wait a minute. Oh, hold a minute. God gave me this power to create. Hold on, Holy Spirit. Let me get down here. Let me get in this place and hear from you and let you create something. Let you do something in me. Because right now, until I tap into that, I'm going to be stuck and frozen. I'm not going to know what to do. I'm going to be stuck. Man, I see everything. And you're going to keep looking over there. You're going to keep looking over there. And the book of Hebrews says this, Hebrews chapter 11, when it talks about all this faith, all these beautiful things, and it gets to a passage where it says, all these people, they did all these things by faith, knowing there was a homeland for them somewhere else. But if they had not called that to remembrance, they would have surely looked back and going right back where they came from. That's my paraphrase of it. Okay? Hebrews 11, 14. But bottom line is, you gotta know that God has made you the new creation. And the benefit of the new creation is all this investment that God has made in you is yours. It is yours. And it is not yours to lean on other people. You have other people to lean on, because we're brothers and sisters. But my dependency is not on other people. Okay? So one thing that happened to me in us stepping out and starting this church, I realized how much I was leaning on somebody else. I realized how much that if I didn't feel like it, somebody else could get it. But all of a sudden, God says, nope, I'm going to put this here. And right here, now that it's here, and there's nobody else to lean on, you can only lean on me. You can only lean on me. You can't take a vacation off of it. You can't, whatever. It's you. You have to be the one. You're going to have to study to show yourself approved. You're going to have to be the one to praise. You're going to have to be the one to do this. You're going to have to be do all this. This is you. But it's not a labor. Because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. I'm not overloading you with something you can't handle. All you got to do is just do it. Just get in this vein. Just allow me to give you creativity. Allow me to create something new. Allow you to give an understanding. That's why worship was so important today, because worship today started a creativity. It started something else. Okay? It's not someone else's worship. It's our taking responsibility for our worship and us saying how we're going to worship and us doing what God has called us to do. And so as we continue to do those things, God will bless that. God will continue to increase. God will continue to give us a peace of God that goes beyond all understanding, because we'll know that we're resting on him and not on other people. But it's all because we are new creations in him. New creations in him. New creations in him. Man, I want to just run around and just, because I'm telling you now, this is powerful. Man, all things are possible to us who are new creations. I cannot finish this. I'm going to have to shut it down here in a second here. Praise God. Let's do this. With God, all things are possible. We are born of God. Because we're born of God, everything is possible for us. Everything is possible. So the disciples came and said something to Jesus. And Jesus said, for men, it's not possible. But for God, all things are possible. Okay? For God, all things are possible. 1 Corinthians 6 and 17. I don't think I have this one up here. But it says that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. When we are joined to the Lord, we're one spirit with the Lord. And so when we talked earlier about the vision of the church and about releasing the wisdom of God to answer the problems that we see, we can't release that wisdom until we recognize we are one spirit with God. I'm not God. I'm God's image. Adam was created in the image of God. The word image in the Hebrew is what we would refer to as a shadow. And a shadow is only valid when it has a connection to the source. A shadow that, when you take away the source, the shadow ceases to exist. And that's what's happened to humanity. We got cut off from our source, and so we ceased to exist spiritually. But when Christ came, he replaced us back to that image of God. We are now that shadow of God. So everything that I do, my shadow does. Okay? All right? Whatever I do, the shadow does. Because I create the shadow. But the further I, closer I get to the source, the bigger I get. The further I get from the source, the smaller I get. Okay? The light is the source. Amen? So the further, closer I get to the light, the bigger I get. Okay? The further I get from the light, the smaller I get. Okay? Now, if I didn't have this back here, what would happen is the further I get from the light, I start to get distorted. And I just don't look the same anymore. And so you say, what is that? I can't tell what it is. Because you're getting further and further from the source, so you look less and less like the source. But the closer you get to the source, the more you start to look like God. We start to look like him the closer we get to him. The deeper our relationship gets, the more we reckon that spirit man to be connected to God, the more you dip into that, the more you press into that, the more you start to have his characteristics. And those characteristics start to take over the inner man because the spirit lives on the inside of me and it starts to control. And my mind starts to get aligned with my spirit. And when those things start to happen, then I become invincible. When my spirit, who's connected to God, and my mind, who's getting renewed, line up with God, then all of a sudden, you can't tell me nothing. Because I'm hearing from God. I'm hearing clearly from God. I know his voice. I start to operate in his voice. I start to move with his voice. And so I start to see things other people around me can't see. Not weird things. I just know what God's directions is. Where God's going, what God's calling. So the closer we get to him, and we're going to be a church of worshipers, not worshipers, worshipers, whose hearts are connected to God, whose hearts are connected to God, whose hearts are connected with God. And we work with God and flow with God, and we get God's wisdom. We get God's understanding. We get God's creativity, and we start to make and create and to do what God has called us to do. Not for us, but for those whom it's been prepared for. So when God created the world, he looked at nothing. And he spent 6 days creating. He spent 6 days creating for that which was his intent. And so he created not for him. He didn't create the world for him. He created the world for us. And so the creativity that God has given us is just that. It's not for us. It's for those who we created for. So God gives us understanding or gives us wisdom or gifts and talents. All that is in us, those things are there for others. And so when we get a hold of this, when we dip far enough into this, God is going to do some awesome things. Awesome, awesome things. So we're going to pray. I'm going to stop right here. Praise God. Ooh, boy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you pray with me, please? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. And thank you for the heart that you have given us. We thank you that our spirits are connected with you. We thank you for you touching our spirits in a mighty way. We thank you that the spirit of us is alive before you. We thank you that every person in this place who's given their life to Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you have already connected yourself to us. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to reveal to us how we draw closer to you. Reveal to us how individually we draw closer to you, closer than before. Hallelujah. Even as Michaela sang earlier today, closer than we've ever been, Lord. Let us be drawn closer to you. We thank you that the distance is not according to you, but the distance is our soul. We thank you, Lord, that our minds will be renewed
to know what is the height and the depth and the breadth, to know the love of God. We thank you for that right now. We thank you for the sweet anointing in this room right now, Lord God. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit just mightily in here. We just thank you right now. We just ask that you would continue to stir that spirit in us right now. Stir in us the heart and the desire, Lord, for more of you. Lord, for us to be released closer to you, deeper into your presence. We thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, if there are any unmet needs in this room right now, Holy Spirit, attach yourself strongly. Show yourself as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. Meet every need as in this place. Lord, everyone who is seeking employment or seeking new opportunity, I thank you, Lord, that you give them understanding, Lord, about how you want to use them in the name of Jesus. Not what job is for them, but where you want to use them right now. We thank you for showing them and guiding them to the place where you will use them, Lord. We thank you that when you use them, you will meet their needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. We thank you that where you choose to use us, Lord, we will be blessing. We will be a blessing mightily. We just thank you for that right now. We thank you for opening the proper doors before us right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. In the meantime, we thank you. You continue to meet our needs. We thank you. Continue to fulfill us. We give you praise. Lord, if anyone in here today, Lord, has been suffering with a confidence challenge right now, that the enemy has shaken their confidence, the enemy has tried to make them second guess the presence of God in their lives, we bind that lying spirit right now. Holy Spirit, loose the boldness and the confidence in them right now. Loose the worshiper in their spirit right now to worship you and to hear clearly your voice on what direction they should go. We just thank you and praise you right now. We thank you, Lord, that your word will be our light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thy word is a light unto our feet. Hallelujah. Lamp unto our path. And we thank you for lighting the way for us. We praise you and give you glory. We thank you. You will show us who to love on this week, who to give the gift of love to. We just thank you and praise you, give you the glory for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you're here to